Welcome to No Save for You, a podcast where I gather my thoughts about tabletop RPGs. My name's Cody. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I'm coming out of the woodwork, out of retirement here, to talk about the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Essentials Kit. I think my good friend Rich Frazier at Cockatrice Nuggets did a podcast about this as well, so be sure to go over here and check him out. Listen to the episode. It was pretty good. So, yeah, with that, I guess we'll jump right into it. Let me see. I've got my box here. First glance, it's a pretty decent size. It's got a decent heft to it. Feels like there's a lot of good stuff in there. When you hold it, which is cool. I felt like, by comparison, the starter set box was really light, kind of flimsy. Didn't feel like there was a whole lot in there. And in fact, they had that spacer in there that was kind of annoying to deal with. Here, you don't get anything like that. It's a solid box. The art on the box is totally awesome. You've got, looks like some kind of magic user, maybe a wizard, shooting some magic bolts at a very large dragon on the front. I don't know who the art's by, probably whoever does like the normal 5e art. Though it could be different, it doesn't say on the front. And then of course you have like the typical blurb at the bottom of like all the 5e products that says everything you need to create characters and play new adventures in this introduction to the world's greatest role-playing game. I feel like they maybe could have cut down on the word count there. It's kind of a lot, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. The cover does seem to promise much, though. It's a beginner kit, so you start with level 1 characters, but here this character is throwing magic at the dragon looks pretty big, right? I guess we'll get more on that later. So you open up the box, and you've got a little bag of dice. These are the kind of standard dice you're going to need to play 5th edition. They're red jewel dice, so they're see-through. If you hold them up to the sun, you can see through them. They have the white numbering. It's large font, which is nice for people with old eyes or bad eyes like myself. I really like them. I thought the selection that they give you is quite thoughtful. You get 2d20s, so you can take advantage of the advantage disadvantage mechanic that 5e has without having to re-roll the d20 you just threw, which is cool. You also get 4d6, so you can roll up your stats without having to pick up a die and re-roll it, which is nice. And then the other ones are like your standard fare. You get 2d10s, a d12, a d8, d4, the usual stuff that you're going to need to play. I like this selection of dice better than what you get with the starter set. With the starter set, I think you just get the normal, 7 dice you would normally get in a dice set. This one feels a little more tailored to the system itself, which is cool. Definitely some thought went into that. You also get, let's talk about the character sheets. You get 6 of them. They're like the standard 5e character sheets. They're actually on a pretty high quality paper, which is nice, but actually makes me kind of not want to use them. They feel like it's like a lightweight cardstock. I was a little disappointed that you didn't get at least one of the spell sheets. I think with the 5th edition character sheet, it's 2 pages front and back. So it'd be 4 pages, 2 separate pieces of paper. And then the second piece has like the slots for your spells where you can write them in and their level, and has information about like your, spellcasting ability and your saves and attack bonuses, all that kind of junk. You don't get that with this. You just get 6 regular character sheets. You can always flip it over and write it on the back. That's not a big problem, but, and then you get this cool map. I really like the map. It is double-sided. You get a hex map on one side of the Sword Coast, which is totally cool. I'm into hex maps, so I think this is rad. And on the back, you get a pretty detailed map of Phandalin, which is also cool. I don't know that I would ever use this side, but it is pretty cool. Regardless, I like the styling. Yeah, I would probably, honestly, I'd set this on the table and would just have it on the hex side. My one gripe is the scale. It's one hex is 5 miles. And I guess I don't necessarily have a problem with 5 miles. I personally prefer 6 miles. But with the fifth edition, like by the rules, movement rates, it doesn't fit neatly into 5 mile hexes. So by the raw, your characters can move 24 miles in the wilderness. So if they would have done a 6 mile hex, that would have fit really neatly into the rules there. But yeah, whatever. Not that big of a deal. You could always change it to 6 miles if you wanted. And I guess it does fit if the characters are moving slower than normal or faster than the normal pace. Because I think if you move slower in 5e, it's 10 miles. And then if you move faster, it's 30. But if you just wanted to move at the normal rate, you get the awkward, you know, hangover miles or whatever at the end of your day. Again, not, I guess, really that big of a deal. Yeah, I would definitely leave it on the table with the hex side up. I think that's better than the map of Phandalin. You also get a small DM screen. And again, the art on this side is really cool. You have looks like an adventure party moving through the woods and coming out of the woods, maybe onto a cliff or a mountain. You get the white dragon. It looks like the same one that's on the box. Again, this thing looks pretty big and muscly. It's really cool looking. I'm kind of glad they went with the white dragon. I feel like the white dragon is kind of underplayed in regular Dungeons and Dragons. Now, you know, they could have easily went with the red dragon and it would have been fine for them, but I think the white dragon's a cool flavor choice. You also have some orcs here. I don't know quite what these orcs are doing. One is pointing at the dragon and the other is looking at you. It doesn't really look like they're looking at the adventurers coming out of the woods, but anyway, the art's really cool. I like it. It's small as far as its height is concerned. It's not landscape because the panels are squares, but they're probably, I don't know how tall this is, maybe, oh geez, I'm bad at this, 7-8 inches maybe. I don't know, it's not as big as a normal piece of paper. I have no idea. I don't know, 6 inches or so. They're squares. It doesn't really matter. So it's kind of short, which is cool. If you wanted to set it up as a screen, you could still see your players without having to crane your neck to look over. To be honest, the art is really cool, but again, I would lay this flat on the table and let the players look at it. There's nothing on here that needs to be hidden from the players. And in fact, it'll probably help them in play, especially if you got a bunch of new players. One of the entire panels is devoted to actions and combat, things you can do on your turn. The second panel is all of the conditions. The third panel has like costs for food and lodging and armor class and equipment and all that kind of junk. You get the travel pace on one side, cover bonuses on the next panel. Again, this is like a really good tool for the players to be able to reference. So I would probably set it up again flat on the table, probably beside the hex map, and let the players look at it if they have a question. Yeah, so that's pretty neat. Again, I don't think you get a hex map in the starter set, and you also don't get a DM screen. So these are two things that you get for pretty much the same price. Actually, I think probably the starter kit is now cheaper than when it first came out, but if you were to compare the two when they first came out, I think this is probably already a better value just on the few things we've already talked about. What's next? You get a deck box, and then there's like, 8 cardstock sheets that are perforated that you tear up, and you get these little cards that fit neatly into the card box. There's a bunch of them. I like most of them. There's some of them I don't really like. So you get initiative cards, which is cool. If you roll initiative, you can toss these out to the players in the order that they act. I know Rich said on his podcast he has like a whiteboard. But these are cool. They included them so you could just bring this box with you if you wanted to, and your players were having a hard time keeping track of who went next, or if you're with a group of new players and it's a new concept to them, you just toss these out to them and, get them back at the end of the combat. I think it's a cool idea. As for the deck box itself, I wish it had some cool art on it. It's just like a blue color. It's the same color blue as, and really the same motif as the Essentials rulebook you get. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's blue. It's got like the D&D logo on it. It says Essentials Kit on the front. Anyway, I wish they just had some art, maybe pertaining to the cover art, like the dragon or the adventurers or something. But it's not really that big of a deal. And then you have a couple of the cards have like the combat sequence on them. So again, you could toss these on the table, and if players need to reference them without having to ask you, while other players are taking their turns, they could pick one of these up, glance at it real quick, and figure out what they're going to do. What's next? The quest cards. I'm not a big fan of the quest cards. These are like, I read over a couple of them, and to be honest, they seem like they. Well, one, I don't like that they're called quests. That makes my Dungeons and Dragons feel kind of video gamey, like you're going to go to see a quest giver or whatever. And to be honest, most of these, if you read over them, they're kind of like items you would see on a rumor table. So I kind of wish they would have just given you a like a rumor table page you could have rolled on for the region. You have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight or nine of these quest cards. Yeah, they should have probably just given you a D10 or D12 rumor table. Hell, maybe even D20. But anyway, these are kind of cool. I probably wouldn't use them in the game. I would keep them behind my screen or behind or in the box or whatever. I guess they're kind of cool to provide like, hooks for the players, but I just wouldn't hand them. These are those cards, right? So I guess you're supposed to hand them to the players. I wouldn't do that. Just not my style, I suppose. And then you also have the cards for each of the conditions, which again is cool. I think that, if you lay out the DM screen flat on the table, it's there. And then you have individual cards for each condition. And then on the back, it has the corresponding art, and then it says what it is. So if you have a player get blinded or charmed, you just toss this over to them. They keep it with their character sheet so they can reference it when they need it if it comes up. Super useful, very thoughtful. I like it. And then you have a buttload of magic items. I don't play enough 5e to know what is new and what isn't. I will say that I think it's cool. They have just like a couple of regular like plus one weapons, but each of them also has a like a bonus minor property. So for instance, I've got a plus one mace card here, and it says while holding the mace, you can use an action to cause your voice to carry clearly for up to 300 feet until the end of your next turn. I think that's super cool. A lot of cool applications you could do with that. And then they have the plus one long sword here. It says its minor property is while wielding the longbow or long, oh, it's a longbow. While wielding this longbow, you can use your action, use an action to learn which way is north. Also super cool, pretty flavorful. If you're out hex crawling or lost in the wilderness, that would be a pretty powerful item to have. And it's, gets away from just having a plus one item, which has always been kind of lame to me. Yeah, so you get a bunch of these magic items. These are really cool. You instead of having to repeat yourself over and over and over to your players about what their item does, you just toss these out to them when they get them. They have a plus one battle axe that lets you speak and understand Dwarvish if you don't already, which is pretty cool. Yeah, so those are the magic items, and there's a buttload. I would say the majority of the cards, or at least half of all of the cards, are magic items that you get. And when I tore all these apart, I probably spent a good like 7 to 10 minutes folding these things and tearing them carefully. And they fit pretty much perfectly in the box. There's not a lot of space left over, so they're making a bunch of noise when they're traveling. And it's not, the box isn't too small that you feel like it's busting at the seams. The other type of card you get with these is the hireling, or I guess technically they're called sidekicks. which is a new thing Wizards introduced with this box set, and I want to talk about that in a second. The cards are really cool. On one side, you have like the portrait of the character, and the art is really well done. I love the style, and you have their name down on the bottom of their portrait. Like for instance, the one I'm looking at right now, he's Pickled Pete. He's got a cool art. On the back side of Pickled Pete's card, he tells you he's a human expert, which is one of the NPC classes. And it gives a little blurb about him. It says, Pete likes ale and tends to function better while tipsy. And you get a, personality traits, ideal bonds, and a flaw. And it's a sidekick at the bottom on that side. Yeah, so there's a bunch of cool cards. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of these guys. And you can very easily make these at home if you have access to a printer, or, you just on one side find a character art you like off the internet, slap it on, and then on the other side type up a thing, and you could have more sidekicks ready to go. These are super cool. I like them. I would hand them out to the players if they hired them, or if the sidekicks were going with them, just toss it out there. No need for a character sheet for their own. You just throw this out. Super cool. Card. Sorry, just looking at my notes. The rule book that you get with it, with the box set, it's the same kind of standard 5e paper you would get with the Player's Handbook or any of the hardbacks. On the front, it just says D&D Essentials Kit rule book, and then you have this kind of like bluish motif on blue paper. It's like a dragon. It kind of looks like the dragon that's on the ampersand for D&D. On the front, on the back, again, it has all of the conditions, which is cool. This thing clocks in at, Jesus, where did I write it down earlier? I guess I didn't write it down. You're 64 pages here, but you get one page of sidekicks in the back. So really, it's like 62 pages of content. You get spells in there too. This is pretty much exactly what I've been looking for 5th edition. It's all of the free content you get with the like through the SRD. They put it in a paperback book, so it's easy to carry around. It's character levels 1 through 6, which for me is like a I probably wouldn't want to go higher than that. In the 5th edition game I'm running right now, I can talk about in a different episode, is levels 1 through 10. The players haven't gotten there yet, but I think levels 1 through 6 is a really easy way to keep things simple at the table. And it's right up my alley. So Frank, if you're listening, this is what we have been looking for with boiling down 5th edition. So I would suggest you check it out. You get all the standard stuff in here. There's some new black and white line art, which is pretty cool. I actually really like the new art they added. So yeah, that's the rule book. And then the other thing you get in the box is a coupon for 50% off the digital version of the Player's Handbook on D&D Beyond. I think that's really cool. So if you wanted to have access to the full rules that are in the Player's Handbook, you don't have to go out and buy the Player's Handbook at full cost. You get a half off coupon. I wish that Wizards would do more things like this. Like if you bought the Player's Handbook at your game store, I wish they give you a coupon for 50% off on the website. And who knows, they might start doing that going forward. But I think that's super cool. I wish they would do it for all of the books. So, I guess really the last thing to talk about is the module that you get. Let me dig it out here. It says D&D Dragon of Ice Spire Peak Adventure. And again, it's got the same art on the front that you get on the box set. And then on the back, it's pretty much a copy paste of the art on the DM screen, which is cool. And then you have a map key at the top on the back cover. It's that same kind of paper. On the inside cover, you have like a skeletal horse. It's really cool looking. Yeah, I read through this last night. It's 48 pages, 64 in total if you count like the monster stat blocks. And I looked at the monsters first that it gives you, because that will kind of give you an idea of what's going to be inside of this book. And I was pleasantly surprised. There's a ton of cool classic monsters, and a lot of monsters that I really like. You get things like Ankhags and carrier crawlers, ghouls, giant spiders, the harpies, a manticore, ochre jellies. So a lot of like classic D&D monsters. And then the dragon. And the dragon stat block they give you is a young white dragon, and its size is large. So if you look at the front of the box, so large size then in this game is, equivalent to the size of a horse. Like a centaur is large size. This dragon is large size. But on the cover of the box, the dragon looks huge. It looks easily like 4 or 5 times bigger than the human, or I guess it's a human, standing in front of it, blasting it with its spell. And so, yeah, I was a little disappointed with that. I mean, you could, if you have the monster manual, you could easily drop in a higher level dragon here to make it larger or whatever. But outside of that, I suppose it's fine. So it's not a standard module you would get with something like this. It's actually a pretty good sandbox. Basically, it's a bunch of different locations, locales. You get a map of each one of them, kind of like an overview of the area, some rumors about each of them, and then like some hooks for each of the locations. I didn't read each of these. Some of them are tied together, some of them aren't. And then you have the biggest one, I think, is the Icespire. Yeah, Icespire Hold, which is the namesake for the adventure. It's a big kind of fortress, and there's the dragon in there and all of that. Yeah, it's a pretty good adventure, overall. I think it's a really good framework to teach someone how to run a sandbox game if you're just getting into Dungeons and Dragons with 5e. I think you could very easily take this, learn from it, and do something very similar on your own, and you would have a great setup for a campaign. Like if you wanted to continue in the Sword Coast region, you just write up a couple of these locations, get a map off the internet from Dyson, or draw one for yourself, and throw it at the Crags or Mount Hootenanny or whatever, or something in the Neverwinter Woods, something else on this map, and you could have a ton of adventure in this area. So yeah, I think it's super rad. So I guess overall, would I recommend the box set for people interested in fifth edition? Yes, absolutely. Especially people who are new to the game. I think it's a really good tool. Again, I think it's got good fundamentals for building up a sandbox game. And it's probably a good way to learn how to tinker. Like you would need to add random encounter tables. Obviously, there's none in there. So it's a good foundation, a good starting point. And yeah, so that's pretty much my kind of overview of the essentials kit. Yeah, and I don't really have anything else to say about it. So I guess that's going to be it for me today. I'm going to come back with another episode about what's been going on with me and why I've been taking a break and all that junk later on in the week. So keep a lookout. I made notes for this essentials kit, and I wanted to get an episode out and kind of come back to the mics for it. So hope you guys have been doing all right. I've still been listening to all of my Anchorite friends, and I have some call-ins I got to get done. So anyway, that's going to be it for me tonight. Hope you all have a good one.
Oh yeah, totally forgot I wanted to talk about the rules for the sidekicks that they introduced. I say rules, there's not really a whole lot of rules to it. They give you 3 stat blocks. You have a warrior who's good at fighting, an expert who's kind of like a catch-all skill-based character, and then and I think he has proficiency with thieves' tools, and then the magic user. And the magic user, it's split between like a cleric base and a wizard base. So you pick one of them. The wizard one has a handful of the basic kind of like standard wizard spells, and then the other one has standard cleric spells. Yeah, I think these are cool. It's a good framework, right? You could easily change this up to fit the setting you're playing with. It follows like the humanoid. So all of the humanoids in 5th edition have the D8 hit dice. So if you look in the back of the monster manual and you flip to the NPCs there, they're all going to have the 2D8 hit dice or higher if they're higher level characters. But yeah, so this follows the same suit. The stats are, you know, like normal kind of peasant or low powered stats. I think they probably use the standard array there, which is cool. I like that a lot. And then it also has on the flip page of the stat blocks, it has advancement. So I guess you can track XP for these guys and know what they do if they level up, which is cool. So some of the warrior gets some of like the fighter class abilities later on, like the minor things. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. I've already tinkered with it, and we'll probably talk about that later, but. Yeah, the one thing I was disappointed with is the way that you acquire a sidekick. Also, the name sidekick. I don't know if that really works for, like, a fantasy setting. I wish they would have just kept the old hireling name or henchman or whatever. But I guess it's, again, not really that big of a deal. You can always call it what you want. But yeah, it just says, you know, if the DM decides that one of these guys goes along with the player, give them the associated card, and you can tell them the stats after that. There's no mechanic for actually like trying to hire these guys to go with you and, you know, anything like that. Any rules about like morale or retaining them after an expedition, all that kind of stuff you're kind of used to with like old school D&D hireling system. It's not present here, though that stuff is easy enough to bolt on. So that's really about it with the hirelings. Overall I think, you know, tweak it a little bit, and again, this is good, especially for like new people who are new to the rules, who may not know that they would even want to tinker with it. If you did, it's just a good way to kind of flex your creative muscles and learn what's, you know, to play around with the system, learn what works, learn what doesn't. So anyway, that's all I have to say on the matter. Well, folks, thanks for listening. You can find me on Discord and MeWe. Music on this show is by Lobo Loco. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.